Good morning. It's good to see you, Christ Church. Welcome. So glad you're here today. If you're visiting, my name is Jason Cullum. I'm one of the pastors around here. Let me just say this. No matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter what your background is, you are welcome here at Christ Church. You can come and belong to this incredible ministry long before you believe. And we are here for you to help you in that journey of discovering who Jesus is and his plan for your life. Now, today, I want to begin by asking everyone a question. And so here's the question I want to ask everybody. Simply this: what would you do if you won $1 million? What would you do with $1 million if you won that? Now, this week I read a BuzzFeed article that talked about what you could do if you won $1 million. And a lot of you would say, hey, I would go on a vacation. I would go on a trip. I'd go somewhere exotic. And so if you went on a trip, you went on a vacation, and you had $1 million to spend, here is a couple things that you could do. You could stay at this hotel. It's the Hotel President Wilson Geneva, and you could stay there for 15 nights. That's right, 15 nights, $65,000 a night. After 2 weeks, your $1 million would be gone. You could do that. Or you could stay at the Comfort Suites on Bay Meadows in 95 for 32 years. 32 years. You can just move in, you know? Or say you have a sweet tooth. Say you have a sweet tooth and you have $1 million to spend. What could you do with that $1 million? Well, here's one thing you could do. You could buy the Lilith Howe Country House Pudding that comes complete with edible gold leaf and a complimentary diamond on top. You could buy 28 of those. You could do that, or you can buy 4 million snack packs. I mean, that's the way God created pudding to eat right there. That's what I'm talking. Because here's the deal. A lot of people use their money in all kinds of different crazy ways, and that's what this article was all about. And here's the truth. Truth is, probably none of us in this room will ever win $1 million. But you know what all the research shows? Research shows that most of us in this room will earn over $1 million in our lifetime. And so here's the real question. The question isn't, what would you do with the $1 million if you won it? More importantly, what are you going to do with the $1 million that you'll earn over your lifetime? I mean, what are you going to do with the time? What are you going to do with the talent? What are you going to do with the treasure that God has entrusted to you? How are you going to leverage that to make the biggest difference in this world that you possibly can? Now, a lot of people look at life and go, hey, I only got one life. YOLO, you only live once, right? You just kind of live free and do whatever you want to do. But eventually they realize that's not life. That's not good. That begins to wear out. But then a lot of us kind of get into that cycle. You know, the pattern where you make money, then you spend money. You make money, and then you spend money. You make money, then you spend money. You're just trying to pay the bills. You're just trying to keep the creditors off your back. And you kind of get in this cycle. You know, you get up and you go to work, you come home and you're exhausted, you do the family thing, and then you go to bed. Then you get up, you go to work, you come home, you're exhausted, you do the family thing, and then you go to bed. It's just a cycle over and over and over. You get up, you go to work, you earn money, you spend money, and then you die. Pastor's being encouraging again, honey, today, right? But what if life could be different? What if when it comes to all this stuff, it could be different for you? You see, spiritually speaking, life is not about spending. Life is about investing. It's about investing what God has given to you into something that's going to last for eternity, something that's going to make a difference forever. And so when it comes to your unique time, when it comes to your unique talents, when it comes to your unique treasure, what are you doing with it? How are you investing it? What are you doing to make a difference in somebody else's life to bring the goodness of God and the glory of God to them? And you know, during the series, we've said this every single week, that the good life is not about what happens to you. It's not about more. It's not about more zeros in your bank account. It's not about more square footage in your house. That the good life is what's going on in you and through you in your relationship with God. And so I just want to walk down that road again today a little bit. Matthew chapter 25 is where we're going to be. If you have your Bibles, you have your devices, Matthew chapter 25 is where we're going to be. And Jesus gathers a crowd, and he is talking to these people. And Jesus, I tell you, is the most phenomenal teacher who ever lived. He is a master storyteller. Here in Matthew chapter 25, he gives this absolutely amazing illustration that I believe inside this illustration, there are a couple principles that we need to look at about the good life. And so Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 is where we're going to begin. And let me just say this. This is my life parable. This is what I want my life to be all about. And so let's jump in. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. And here is what Jesus says. Jesus says, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. And then he left on a long trip. And so Jesus kicks this story off, and he says, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. He says, it's like a master who comes and he calls his servants in and he gives one servant 5 bags of silver. Understand, that was a ton of money back then. He gives another one 2 bags of silver, and still he gives another one 1 bag of silver. Now please understand, the original audience who's hearing Jesus teach this lesson, they would have really understood what this was all about. This was a profit sharing plan that he was teaching them. Basically, the master is calling his servants in saying, hey, I'm gonna give you some of my stuff. I want you to go invest it. And then when I come back, whatever you make, we will share in the profits together. And so he is giving these guys an incredible opportunity. And did you notice in the story that the money, the stuff, it wasn't the servants' money and stuff, it was the master's. It was his money, it was his stuff, and he gave it to them to manage. And so here's the very first principle that we need to look at. Manage God's gifts. We gotta manage God's gifts. Listen, this story is not just about a master and some servants. The master in the story, that's God. The servants in the story, that is us. And the master gives each of us different gifts and abilities, different resources. I believe that this story, this illustration is about so much more than just money. Because some of you might know, you're five talent people. Or some of you are 2 talent people, or some of you are 1 talent people, or some of you are going, well, Jason, I didn't get a bag of silver. I got a couple silver dollars is all I got, right? But here in the story, everybody received something from the master. Everybody got something. The key is manage what you have well. And so here's the spiritual principle in this lesson, that everything, it's all God's. Everything around us, it's all his. He has the rights to it. We have the responsibility. And I learned this as a 16-year-old kid. 16-year-old kid, every 16-year-old probably in the room, 16-year-old kids, you know, my son's in here, he's 16, he wants his own car. I wanted my own car. My very first car was a 1981 Mazda 626. And by the time it came to me, it had been passed down a couple of times, it was on its 2nd engine. And I don't know who in the world picked the colors in the late 70s and early 80s, but it was brown. Like baby poop brown, all right? It was awful, it was ugly, and literally I could see through the floorboard. I could see the ground as I was driving down the street. I could see, but it was mine. It was my car, and I loved it. And I drove that thing like crazy, drove it everywhere I went. I mean, I was always picking my friends up because it was my car. One day I was out driving, and I got struck by lightning. Seriously, I know some of you are going, well, that explains a lot about you. No, seriously, my car got struck by lightning and it put a permanent white streak all the way down my car. And my friends called my car all kinds of different really inappropriate names. But here's what happened after I got struck by lightning. I would put my foot on the gas and the radio would come on. I turn on the air conditioner and my horn would start going off, you know. I turned the heater on and the radio would actually come. It was crazy, but you know what? It didn't matter how trashy, it didn't matter how old, it didn't matter how messed up it was. It was my car, right? But you know what my mom often reminded me? It wasn't my car. It was actually her car. She had the rights to it. I had the responsibility. And if I did not manage my responsibility well, then she would take the rights away. And come to think of it, my parents remind me often that everything was theirs. You know? And now I do that to my kids. I'm like, that ice cream sandwich you're eating, that's my ice cream sandwich. You get it? And so there's this spiritual principle here. The principle is simply this: everything is God's. It's all God's. And you understand that the path to the good life, the path to living a joyful life, is when your house, it's not your house, it's God's house. And he's empowered you to manage it well. Your money is not your money. It's God's money, and he's empowered you to manage it well. Your relationships, they're not your relationships. They're God's relationships, and he's empowered you to manage them well. And so that's the principle. And did you notice that the master was the one who gave these gifts? They were his gifts. And did you also notice that he didn't give everyone the same amount? I mean, he didn't treat everyone equally. I mean, one guy got 5 bags of silver, one guy got 2 bags of silver, and another guy got 1 bag of silver. And if I'm the 1 bag of silver dude, I'm looking at these guys going, hey, what gifts? You know, this guy got 5 and I got 2, and that guy got 2 and I only got 1. I mean, what gifts? That's not fair, right? And we live in a culture, we live in a country that prides itself on equality. And that's a good thing. And we know that God creates everyone equally and God loves everyone equally. And while that is all true, not everybody is gifted equally. Not everybody's the same. God hasn't made all of us with the same gifts and the same abilities and the same talents. We all have different gifts and abilities and talents. And so in the story, the master gives certain gifts to certain people. And I tell you, I learned this lesson in 7th grade. In 7th grade, I had a choice between 2 classes. I had to pick one of them. It was either band or choir. And so what I did to choose, I walked into the room and looked at all the guys in band and said, not going to do that. And I walked over here into choir, and it was filled with all the girls. I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm going to do right there. I'm going to choir because I want to hang out with the girls and, you know, not do anything, right? And so to be in the choir, I had to audition for the choir. And so being a good little Southern Indiana, you know, farm kid, I got my John Cougar Mellencamp tape out, right? I got my tape out, I picked a song, you know, Rain on the Scarecrow, Blood on the Plow, you know, good farm kid song, you know, and I practiced for a week, and I went in for my audition, hit play on that little tape deck, you know, and I sung my heart out. And I cannot believe that my teacher did not laugh the whole entire time. I mean, she was so sweet, she didn't Simon Cowell me or anything. She just kind of walked up and put her arm around me, and she said, so what instrument do you like to play? I mean, I'm horrible. I cannot sing at all. I wish I could. I wish I did, but I can't. But I tell you, there's people around me that have incredible skills that way. I've got a team with incredible skills that way. God's made them that way, gifted them that way. And so the temptation for us is to look at our friends and our classmates and our coworkers and our neighbors and say, you know what? I see what they have. I wish I had what they had. I wish I had their gifts. I wish I had their abilities. I wish I had their talents. I wish I had their mind. I wish I had their speed. I wish I had their looks. I wish I had their family. I wish I had their background. I wish I had their money. I wish I had their good life. Then, man, my life would be where it needs to be. And we can understand we got to manage the gifts that God has given us. And so the challenge for us is to look at those things. And if we want the good life, then stop looking at what other people have and what we don't have and start going, God, I am grateful for what you have given me, and I'm going to take what you have given me, and I'm going to leverage that to make the biggest difference I can. And here's the deal. I mean, going around and whining and complaining about what you don't have, it doesn't serve any purpose. It doesn't do anything for you. You got to go, God, I mean, well, how have you made me? How have you gifted me? How have you equipped me? Let me take what little I have and make a difference in the world. And some of you guys are so talented. I mean, you got so many gifts. Some of you are talented organizationally. Some of you are talented musically. Some of you guys are great shepherds. Some of you are great encouragers. Some of you are great teachers. Some of you are great leaders. I mean, some of you guys are just organizational freaks. You just are, right? I mean, your eye is like a bionic eye. It's like, wah, 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 wah. Anything you look at. I mean, you immediately see a situation, you see a room, you see a spreadsheet, and all of a sudden, you just like, you organize it, it comes into order. And you think to yourself, well, anybody can do this. No, not anybody can do that. And some of you are gifted mathematically. Some of you, I mean, you're like the Matrix. I mean, all these numbers, they just make sense to you. They don't make any sense to me whatsoever. And you're like, well, anybody can do that. No, they can't. My 8th grader this year told me to quit helping him math because I'm messing him up, all right? Not everybody can do that. But our temptation is to look at everybody else, look past our gifts, look past our abilities, look past our skills, to look to everybody else and say, I wish I had what they had. But we got to flip that. We got to reverse that. We got to say, you know what, God? You've made me a certain way. You've gifted me a certain way. You've given me these skills. You've given me these abilities. And I got to take those and manage them well to make a difference for the kingdom. And so we got to know our gifts. We got to know our skills. We got to know our abilities. Listen, I love talking to people who are making big decisions in their life. I love when they're talking about maybe taking a promotion or moving for a job. And I love sitting down and talking to them, and they'll share with me what's going on and the job they're in and the job they're potentially moving to. And I'll always ask them, say, I mean, why did you get in that? Well, I'm so good at the job I'm doing now. I mean, I'm just like the best in the company. I'm just like the best around. And boy, they really notice me, so they're giving me this other job. I'm like, well, this other job, I mean, is that going to utilize your gifts and your talents and your skills? Well, no, it's going to challenge me. And so I always put it on them and say, well, are you sure you want to do that? I mean, yeah, it might be more money, more power, you know, more time off, whatever. It might be up the ladder. But just because it's all of that, all because it's all that more, does that mean it's really your gift? Are you going to be good at it? Because here's what I find. So many times people just don't think about that. And then they take that job, they take that role, and before they know it, they're miserable, they're depressed, they quit, or they get fired. And so many times I'm talking with people, and I wrote down a couple of questions that I always tell people to ponder, to think about this week. When you're talking about what you're good at, here's the question. First one, what am I good at? I mean, think about it. Sit down and write down, what am I good at? Number two, I mean, what do I love doing? When things are good or things are bad, what gets me up in the morning I don't mind doing no matter what's going on? What do I love doing? And number three, what do I do that gives me strength? What makes me feel empowered in my life? Marcus Buckingham, he's like the expert on strengths, and here's what he said. He said, a strength is simply something you are good at. It's something you are good at that makes you feel strong. Listen, you can do a lot of things in life, and you can be good at a lot of things in life, but it doesn't mean it's a strength. Sometimes those things that you're good at, man, they just zap you of your joy. They zap you of your energy. They just take life away from you. And so it's important for us to know and to think about the gifts that we've been given. And then we invest those gifts. We invest God's gifts. Don't spend it. Invest it. And every single day of your life, there is an opportunity to do that. And so back to our story, remember we got two guys, one with five bags and one with two, and here's what it says. The servant who received five bags of silver began to invest the money and earned five more. He doubled it, multiplied it. The servant with two bags of silver also went to work and earned two more. Again, he doubled it, multiplied it. But the servant who received the one bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. I mean, why did he do that? Well, look down verse 25, and it says, here's what the servant says. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back. I mean, here, boss, no harm, no foul. I mean, you gave me one bag of silver. I hid it. I'm giving it right back to you. And the master has some very harsh things to say to that servant. In fact, he takes his one bag of silver, and he goes over to the guy who now has 10, and he gives it to the guy with 10. And he said, because you managed well what you had, I'm going to give you more. You can manage more. And so we have got to move past fear. He said, I was afraid, so I buried it. So I buried my talents. And I wonder how many of us, if we're honest, would say that we have buried our talents, our skills, our abilities because of fear. Fear of failure, fear of self-doubt. I mean, I don't know if this is going to work out. I don't know if I can do this. I might fall flat on my face. Listen, with every opportunity comes the opportunity for us to overcome fear. And sometimes God puts things in our path, things that require us to step out and trust him. And when we do, say, God, I'm going to step out and I'm going to do this with you, but I need you there with me. And God says, I'll be right there with you. But you've got to step out. You've got to take a step of faith and trust that he's going to be there. You've got to try. Listen, if you don't ever try, it will never happen. And so with every opportunity comes the chance to overcome fear. And that applies to every area of your life, even the simple things in life, even something as simple as asking someone out on a date. Now, I haven't done that in 20 years, but I hear sometimes it gets difficult to come up with a good pickup line, right? And so I went this week to kind of find a couple of good pickup lines to help some of you guys out. So some of you dudes might want to get your pencils out, sharpen them up. I'm going to give you a couple of good pickup lines here, all right? A little cheesy, but hey, they might work for you. Here's the first one. Have you ever gotten a parking ticket? Because you've got fine written all over you. pretty good right there. Okay. Write it down, guys. Write it down, all right? All right, here's another one. I'm not a photographer, but I can picture you and me together. Oh, I know. Are you religious? Because you are the answer to all of my prayers. Here's another, I like this one. Is your name Google? Because you've got everything I'm looking for. And this is my favorite one. Are you my appendix? Because I have a funny feeling in my stomach that makes me want to take you out. It takes a second, right? It takes a second. And then you're like, oh, yeah. Well, you know, growing up at Bible college, we always had cheesy, you know, like Christian pickup lines. And here's my favorite one. I heard this all the time in Bible college. Guys saying to girls, hey, let's go get coffee so I can encourage you. Come on now. And so we got to overcome fear. We got to leverage our skills and our abilities to overcome fear, because if not, we will bury that talent. We will bury that time. We will bury that stuff. And sometimes what we do, and we get in the habit of doing this, we look around and we see somebody who's got 5 bags of silver, and we say, well, I only got a half of a bag, and so I'm just going to bury mine. Listen, we got to leverage. We got to take and invest the gifts that God has given us and overcome those fears. Because listen to what the master says to that servant. He says this, you wicked and lazy servant. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. You know, I read that and I think, I mean, that's not very fair. That's not very fair at all. I mean, share the love, man. I mean, these guys got 10. This guy's got twice as many. Other guy's got twice as many. And he's got one, and you're taking his one bag away, and you're walking down and giving it to the guy with 10. Like, hey, here, you can take. Here's Zuckerberg. You needed just a little bit more, right? And I'm like, it's not fair. But listen, nothing about this story is fair. It's not fair from the beginning. The master doesn't give things equally. The master chooses to give who he wants to give the stuff to in the amounts he wants to give it in. There's nothing fair in this. It doesn't end fair, because it's all about this principle. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. Who in here doesn't want an abundance, right? I mean, we all would love to have an abundance. So what's the path of abundance? I mean, a lot of people think it's just magically going to happen. That one day you're sitting at your desk and all of a sudden you're going to get that phone call and you're going to be named the president of the company and get this big old fat bonus check. It doesn't happen that way, people. It doesn't magically happen. What happens is when you take the little bit you have and you're faithful to that and you manage it well and you invest it well, then you're entrusted with more. You take that one bag of silver, and you might think it's not much, but you take that one bag of silver and you do your best with that. But what so many times happens, people say, you know, hey, you know, one day when I get more of whatever it is, then I'll start managing things well. You know, one day when I get more money, then I'll manage my money well. You know, one day when I get more time, then I'm going to manage my time well. Or one day when I get more power, then I'll manage my power well. One day when I get this or I get that, then I'll manage it well. Listen, the spiritual principle is simply this. You don't wait for one day to start managing your gifts and your talents and your treasure and your time. You start right now. You start right now managing that the best as you can, leveraging that and investing it so you can make a kingdom difference. And we got to cut out the excuses. Well, we make a lot of excuses, don't we? You know, I went to the people who hear excuses every day to ask them for a little help on this one. I went to JSO, my friends who are police officers. Anybody ever meet some of the police officers on the street here in Jacksonville? That's a nice way of saying, you've been pulled over before, people? Come on, raise your hands. Come on. We're in church, don't lie to the preacher. All right, good. My hand's up. I've met JSO before. I've met our state troopers before. They're very friendly, all right? And so I asked them, hey, what are some excuses that you hear? And they said, oh, we hear a bunch of them. And so, Mike, see if you agree with some of these, all right? So here's one of them. I was low on fuel and wanted to get to the gas station before I ran out. That doesn't work. I mean, the faster you go, the more gas you use. So horrible. Here's another one. Yes, I was speeding, officer, but there's a $100 bill on it with your name that says I wasn't. Here's, I don't know who, but here, okay, here's the last one. My wife's about to get pregnant and I really need to be there when it happens. I'm not gonna go there, all right? Not even gonna go there with that one. Excuses, we all make them. And hey, how about our JSL? How about our police officers? We love you guys. Thank you all. Thank you for putting up with our really bad excuses, but we all make excuses, don't we? And we make those excuses in our spiritual life too. We say, God, you know what? One day I'll get around to getting everything together. One day. Hey, God, when things slow down, yeah, I know my kids need to be at church. I need to be there more than one time a month. And I know I need to be in a neighborhood group. I really should be serving, but life's so busy. And when it slows down, God, then I'll take care of that. Or God, I'll clean everything up. One day when I'm ready, I'll really jump in and take care of this business with you. Listen, it's never going to be the perfect day. It's never going to be the perfect time. You just have to jump in and do it. Do it now. And so when we quit making excuses, it leads us to the third principle that we really need to understand from this story. And it's simply this: receive God's reward. Receive God's reward. Listen, there is a reward that is available to us. And listen, in this story, the master says to the guy with 5 bags of silver and 2 bags of silver, the master said to them, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities." You see, that sentence is key because most of us want more in life. We want more responsibilities. We want more money. We want more power. We want more of the good life. But listen to what it says again. It says this: "You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities." So what's the spiritual path of success? Manage what little bit you have right now. Manage it well. And once you prove yourself faithful with a little bit, then you'll be ready to receive whatever it is God's going to bring into your life. And so often we get frustrated. We get frustrated and we start looking outside of ourselves. We start looking to other people. We start looking to other families, other neighbors, other classmates. We start looking at other employees. We go, man, I wish I had what they had. But maybe we should spend more time looking over our affairs, our life, our house, and ask the question and say the prayer, God, would you help me do this with wisdom? God, would you help me manage my life with wisdom? Because then the master says, let's celebrate together. Let's celebrate together. Listen, salvation, goodness, forgiveness, all that comes through faith. And we get a second chance with Jesus Christ. And all of that is absolutely free. But when you invest in the things of God, when you invest in the kingdom of God, there is a reward. And there is a reward that you will experience one day in heaven, but you will also experience that reward here on earth today. It says we will share in the master's goodness. So in my life, we gotta ask ourselves the question, in my life, am I wasting my time? Am I just spending my time thoughtlessly? Or am I using my time, investing my time, managing my time to make a difference in other people's lives, to make a difference for the kingdom of God? I gotta look at, you know, my talents and my abilities and my skills. Am I afraid? Am I burying those things, or am I taking what little bit I have and I am managing it well, and I'm investing in it well? I'm not just spending it. I'm not just wasting it. I'm not just burying it. I am using my skills and my abilities to make a difference in the kingdom of God. Am I doing that? When it comes to our stuff, you know, I'm just blowing it. YOLO, you only live once. Or am I investing? Am I spending? Am I managing what God has given me to make the biggest difference I possibly can with this one life I have? And did you notice what the master says to those who manage it well? Well done, good and faithful servant. If you've been faithful with the little, then I will give you the more that you are looking for. But did you notice the more? It wasn't money. Did you notice what it said? I will give you more responsibility. You see, those living the good life understand it's never about the money. It's never about the money. It's about the opportunity. It's about the responsibility that you have to make the biggest impact with your one life that you possibly can. And then the Bible says, then we'll celebrate. We'll celebrate. Listen, I know that this can be one of those areas in life that can be a challenge for a lot of people. I know that many couples, this is the number one thing that couples fight about. And I know many young people don't take classes on this. I know in America, a lot of us are living in debt every day. And so as a church, we just want to give a couple opportunities, resources to help people out. We're offering a great workshop next Saturday morning from 9 to noon. It's called My Money Wellness, a great opportunity for you to come in and just get coached up on several things. And maybe you're struggling at home to kind of come to a middle ground. This could be a great opportunity for you, husband and wife, to come together and go, hey, let's talk about this. Let's look at things. Let's put a plan together. And I know so many people tell me, Jason, I would love to do more at church. I'd love to be more generous. But man, I'm living paycheck to paycheck. I just can't find any bandwidth. And so it's not just going to happen. You got to manage what you have and invest what you have well. And then those things happen. And so we're going to offer a great class next weekend. And on Saturday morning, childcare is available. You sign up in the bulletin, sign up online, call in during the week. We'd love to have as many people in this class as you possibly can. It's going to be a great opportunity. And then I also just want to throw out again the 90-day challenge. We've had dozens upon dozens upon dozens say, hey, I want to be a part of that. I want to take my first 10%. I want to give it over to God, and I want to see what God's going to do in my life. And remember, this is not about God needing something from you. God has cattle on 1,000 hills. He doesn't need your stuff. He doesn't need, it's all his anyway. All right? It's not about the church getting something out of it. It's about your faith journey. It's about you taking a step of faith and trusting God. When you give your best, you give your first 10%, trusting that he will provide for you. And so we kind of threw this safety net out there, this chance for everyone to take this huge step of faith to start tithing, giving 10%. And so basically you sign up, you fill it out, and you go online, you can do it in the bulletin, and you do that. And then after 90 days, if you don't see God move in your life some way, somehow, then you can come to us, ask for your money back, no questions asked. So people are going, that's crazy. No, it's not crazy, because it's built on the promise of God. The promise of God that if you trust in me, that I will open the floodgates and I'll be there in your life. And so we believe in the promises of God, and we want you to believe in the promises of God. So it's a great chance for all of us to just take that step. And so I know you're going, well, Pastor, you got to say that. Well, let me just share just a quick testimony from someone who's been through the class and had this experience and what they had to say about that. Watch this video.
Before we started My Money Wellness, we had tried to attack and deal with our debt and our finances as a whole for a good long period of time. We'd get it started, everything would kind of plane off, and in the process we'd accumulated some debt, paid some debt off, but it was kind of a never-ending cycle.
We would put things into practice, stick to it for maybe a couple of months, and then something would come up and we would get off track, and so then we would avoid it. Never horrible and as far as not being able to put food on the table or feed our children, but there was definitely a lot of stress.
Coming into the class, there's no need to disclose numbers. You don't have to go into great detail of how you came into any of your financial issues.
One of the biggest things for me was learning how to finally budget my non-monthly expenses, because those always seem to be the things that would bust our budget.
We paid off a huge car loan, paid off multiple credit cards, freed up a lot of cash flow in the process, and really set ourselves up for being able to get on the right track to be debt free.
I mean, we're gonna scrimp and save, and we would, you know, have everything we thought we were gonna spend, and we would do really good, and then a child had to go to the doctor, or school was starting and we had something else we had to pay for, and then where does that come from?
Now we feel a much, much less of a burden. We get much more excited about our finances. We don't avoid them like we did before sometimes, because it was difficult to talk about and difficult to address. And it just seems like the blessings are just kind of coming in the door.
We got to the point where we said, okay, paychecks come in, we tithe, and then we look at everything else on paper. We weren't even going to look at the bottom line until after we had already given our tithe.
There seems to be this idea that the massive amounts of debt and mismanagement of our finances is a good thing in America. And I think that we as a church should really show a light in a dark world there.
Man, that's such a powerful phrase right there. It's so true. In our country, it's just debt, 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 debt. And so if you need some help, I want you to know, if you feel like you're just underwater, listen, you're not alone. And we want to provide that help. There is hope for you, I promise. And so I encourage you to sign up, take an opportunity next weekend to jump into that class. Because here's the truth. Here's the truth when it comes to our lives. We got to ask ourselves, am I managing God's gifts? And am I managing them well? In my life, I mean, the time and the talent and the treasure that God has entrusted to me, no matter how little bit it is, am I doing a good job managing those things? And then am I investing it well? Am I investing my unique time? Am I investing my unique talents? Am I investing my unique treasure? What little bit it is, or what amount it might be, am I taking and doing the best I can with that? Or am I just burying it? I mean, is fear winning out, and I'm not doing the most I can, investing the gifts that God has given me? And at the end of the day, God says, hey, if you are faithful with a little, then I will reward you with a lot. There is reward that there is for us, for those that can say, God, I'm putting you first. God, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to manage what you've given me well, and I'm going to invest what you've given me well. And then there is this great reward that is for you. Because listen, that's what the good life is all about. It's not what happens to you. It's not about more zeros in a paycheck or a faster car or more square feet. It's about what God is doing in you and through you. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we just come to you. Man, and you are such a good, good Father who gives your children such good, good gifts. And we thank you that you have just continued to pour blessing upon blessing upon blessing out in our lives. And God, we want to hear those words out of your mouth about our life. Well done, good and faithful servant. And so God, help us all to look at the time and the talent and the treasure that you have entrusted to us. Help us to manage it well. Help us to invest it well. And help us to have confidence that if we do that well, that you will be there. And there is a reward for us, not just in heaven, but on this earth as well. And so Heavenly Father, help us to have that heart and to know that you are a good, good Father who gives your children such good gifts. And help us to trust you and to put you first in our life. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.